Hi and welcome to the Highbury Hangout podcast. In today's episode, we'll be diving into Arsenal's 2-0 victory over Liverpool in the WSL this weekend. As always, we will start with a match report, then do some analysis, and then we'll finish up with some general Arsenal news. Jonas Vingegaard's 100th game in charge saw Arsenal maintain their intense chase of Chelsea, the current league leaders, with the 2-0 win over Liverpool. So Arsenal started with the same 11 that beat Everton 2-1 in the previous weekend. Arsenal appeared dominant from the off. Kate McCabe and Caitlin Ford in particular I felt combining really well in the first half. We then saw Pullover absolutely twinkle toes her way through defenders, getting the ball to Russo. The shot kind of just lacked that power that was needed, and there was a lot of overall close calls in terms of us getting a goal, but we were just kind of lacking. Rachel Laws continued to remain pretty steadfast in goal, making a few key saves, but I wouldn't say she was troubled extensively in terms of the quality of the shots. And also I felt in particular Gemma Bonner defended quite well in the first half. Looking more to the centre of the pitch, Leah Valti did really well in her role, definitely halted Liverpool's counter-attacks. It was interesting because Shanice van der Sanden of Liverpool was really making some great runs, but she was just really lacking the service, and I think a lot of that was to do with Leah Valti's role in the game. As predicted, Liverpool played in a low block. It was very, very deep, which made the box obviously really congested. And as a result, in the first half, our like super dangerous moments, I would say, were more produced by our set pieces more than general gameplay, which isn't unusual for Arsenal. Then, very close to half-time break, a corner whipped in by Beth Mead saw a classic Lotte Vuber-Moy header, but it was just saved by Laws, which was quite unfortunate. But it wasn't then until the hour mark of that our opening goal finally happened. Emily Fox absolutely paced it from her own box and past defenders, just dribbling her way through. I think she got past at least three, which is just absolutely wild. She then got the ball to Viv Miedemar, who was in a pretty unmarked pocket of space and was able to get it with a fantastic strike, our first goal and also her first goal since being back from her ACL injury. Then, not long after that, about 9 minutes later, Emily Fox again involved by seeing a run made by Russo, who then assisted Caitlin Ford, who converted. Blackstenius then came on in her now kind of familiar super sub role. She had a lot of chances, she was really dangerous, definitely put Liverpool through their paces, but ultimately wasn't able to get the goal. We obviously don't know if it was linked, but she did seem quite upset at the end of the game, being consoled by Jonas Vingegaard and a few of the other players as well. This game once again leaves us level on points with Man City, who also won their game this weekend, but still trailing on goal difference. Next up, we have West Ham away in the WSL. Some interesting points from the game. Obviously, it was Jonas Vingegaard's birthday as well, so great to get the 3 points for him. It was also Manu Zinsberger's 50th clean sheet for the club. And finally, Arsenal are now the first team in WSL history to reach 500 points. So obviously that is accumulated over the years, which I think is a really, really cool stat to have. So in the analysis, I'm going to focus a lot on Emily Fox, but I really want to talk about Katie McCabe's yellow card. So a lot of people have said that it was unnecessary, like why did she do it? Because for those of you that haven't seen the game, she just simply took way too long to get off the pitch for the substitution. She literally took her shin pads off on the pitch, which is obviously going to lead to a yellow. Now, for me, the context is really critical here. I think it was definitely an intentional yellow because now it means she misses the West Ham game, because in the WSL, much like most leagues, you can get up to 5 yellow cards and then you get a 1-match ban. Whereas now she'll serve the match ban against West Ham and then it's a clean slate. And for those of you that are familiar with what's coming up for Arsenal, you'll know that it is a pretty scary, intense kind of timetable of fixtures coming up. So once we have played West Ham in the WSL, if we're just looking at the WSL, next up in the WSL we then have Manchester United, followed by Spurs, and then it's Chelsea away, and then we have Aston Villa. Now, I don't think, even if we're not looking at Katie McCabe, I think unless we're saying someone who has insane control, like maybe Leovolti or something, someone who really, really isn't seen as getting carded very often, people are going to get yellow cards in that time period. Just simply, there's a lot of games in that period. And also the very high profile, high energy, high emotion games, which makes a yellow card even more likely. I also think in the build up to getting that, she was seen speaking to Jonas Idevel. She kind of walked over, then walked back. Definitely think it was intentional. It's much better to miss the West Ham game than it is to miss any of the others that I just mentioned, especially United and Chelsea. But now that we've cleared that up, let's move on to some Emily Fox analysis. So obviously she's only very, very recently joined. And while I definitely think she was solid in defence, I think what we were going to want to talk about is what she was kind of like as an attacking player. I do like her relationship with Lotta. I think the fact that they've played together before is really evident. So she assisted Miedemar to get the first goal, which was a moment of brilliance from them both. And then she also was absolutely critical. She saw the run by Alessia Russo, got the ball to her, and then obviously that assisted Caitlin Ford, who scored the second goal. Now, one thing you need to know about any US women's team players, especially like proper like first teamers, the starting 11 almost, is they're kind of famed for their athleticism. Back in the day, like the earlier World Cups, let's say, especially, there was one of the biggest reasons that the US was able to win so many games is because they're so athletic and they would outrun everybody on the pitch. They could run for longer than everyone else on the pitch, and that was a really big part of their gameplay. Whereas now, part of the reason I feel that they're struggling is because a lot of other teams have really improved their skill level. And then athleticism is required now because of the professional leagues like the WSL or the NWSL, things like that. So that's partly it. And I think the athleticism was really crucial. And also her ability to play the full 90 and give 100% for the full 90 shouldn't be overlooked. But not just that, I think her positional awareness was really important. She linked up with Beth Mead on the right really, really well. We've already seen this, so in her debut against Watford, we regularly saw Fox making runs inside of Mead when the forward moved kind of wide and then the pair like interchanged well. This then continued against Everton and then most recently against Liverpool. And I also think this is a really good example of why in the WSL games, and I believe against Feyenoord as well, obviously we don't have 100% set knowledge on what the lineup was there because it was behind closed doors. We haven't seen a lot of change. It was only until we got in the Conti Cup game where it was like bang, 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 lots of change, which again we predicted. And I think that's because, as I said in the previous podcast, if you keep the same players and then have the same subs coming on at a pretty similar time as they have in all the other games, the tweaks that the coaching staff have made over the winter break and kind of the understanding of how to play against a low block, for example, is way easier to kind of mesh into the group if the group is always the same. And then you have the ability to bring in the new players, or, you know, the players coming back from injury, and then over time you're able to rotate and everything as well. But if you're talking about, especially because the WSL season is so short, I think this is why Jonas Idevel has really, really focused on the continuity of his players and the style of play. And I think this is an example of why it has been working so well, like it's paid off. Now, for sure, it's not just Emily Fox. I think Bethany's willingness to work hard off the ball is really important for this to all pay off. Fox's forward runs mainly come inside of Mead, but then she can also overlap the England international, and then Mead can drop back deeper. We saw her both going into kind of midfield area, but also like a defensive position into that back four she slotted sometimes, which I think is really important to then not allow Liverpool kind of back into the game because they would have been given way too much space. The other thing I think is not really talked about is Fox's composure. She was really, really press resistant. We talk a lot about how Victoria Pullova is like insanely press resistant. I love watching her play, but Fox was able to really draw opponents in and then pick a pass, and it was a good pass as well. So obviously just an amazing signing. And while she obviously outfoxed Liverpool, I'm sorry, I couldn't resist, I had to fit it in. I think overall what we're seeing across all of the games that we've seen her in so far is how much balance she brings to Arsenal and then how much improvement that brings to Arsenal overall. So even in things where you probably wouldn't say it has anything to do directly with Emily Fox, I think her balance really helps. So I think she brings a lot more confidence in the back four with her, like, just within the team and herself. She's very assured and composed, and also she's settled in so quickly to the WSL and within the team, and not just the team as like in a social setting, which is really important, don't get me wrong, but also like Arsenal's style of play and the system that Arsenal have, which has been really, really important as well. Fox then went on to win Player of the Match, the Barclays Player of the Match, and I really liked how kind of surprised she was. She was very taken aback, and she instantly credited the club and the teammates and the fans about how she settled in really quickly, which I thought was really interesting to gain kind of an insight into how she is settling in, but also like kind of her personal development and how she feels about her time at the club so far. Finally, on the Emily Fox analysis, let's just look at some of the stats from her game. So I first off would highly recommend, if you have Twitter or X, or like Instagram, the heat map of Emily Fox is pretty impressive. But stats wise, she had 104 touches, which ranking in the game, she was first. Successful passes, 65, first again rank wise. Successful passes in the final third, 24, first again. And chances created was 2, second in the ranking, assists 1, and then obviously she shared the assist ranking with Alessa Russo, they're both first on that one. Another player I want to quickly talk about is Caitlin Ford. A few people were really calling her out, I think unnecessarily, especially on social media. The discourse has been, there's been quite an intense focus on her. I think she had a really strong season last season, and then we see her for the Matildas as well, and she's definitely been not quite the same. I still personally think it may be to do with fatigue. There's been a lot of focus on kind of her and her game, but now after that goal she's had 3 and 3, so I think very much back to her normal best ways. Talking of being back to your best ways, of course Viv Miedema scored, so that's 413 days since she last scored in December 2022. She came back and she was by no means poor. I think she was still playing very well and brought a lot to the team. But goal scoring wise, she's kind of been struggling a little bit. And she celebrated, which I think is enough to say in itself. She is not a celebrator of the goals. But she said herself in the post-match press area that she now just feels a lot better since the winter break and training from that. She feels like she's had a mindset shift, and also that she doesn't think about her knees anymore, which is really important. And she said that she was putting a lot of pressure on herself to really be back, not just to herself, but almost better than she was before, which I thought not only is like very Miedema of her to say, but I think makes a lot of sense. And it's also really interesting to see the difference in how Beth's approached the ACL recovery, Viv's and Leah, all very, very different mindsets and kind of ways to go about it as well. The final aspect of the gameplay that I want to talk about is the difference between the first half and the second half. Now, absolutely, when you're playing in a low block, I think goals are potentially more likely to come in the second half just because require a lot of patience. Funnily enough, I felt like the game that Arsenal men played against Nottingham Forest also this on Tuesday was so similar, like they had to be so patient and they went on to score those goals. So yes, patience is a huge factor, but I think could be quite interesting to look at. So in the first half, I think the game was well played. I think tactically very sound and the structure was very strong, kind of how we believe Jonas wants us, Arsenal, to play. I think was all pretty game planned well, but obviously we were missing that final product, the goals, right? Then in the second half these goals come, and I think there's a few reasons. So just looking at the first goal especially, I think it really shines. In the second half, Miedema was asked by the staff to stay a little bit lower in the build-up of kind of Liverpool's structure, so it pulls Liverpool's structure out of shape. This then allowed Viv those pockets of space, which is why she was able to be unmarked in that position and then also get such a strike on the ball. Overall, and I think you can also see this maybe in the goal difference that we're struggling with against Man City, there's collective progress, which I believe is the most important thing. I think this season is far more important to focus on building the team because we now have that depth, which Arsenal haven't always had in the recent, certainly under Jurgen Seidel. It's about learning how we all play together in this larger squad depth. And I think the fact that we've improved so much, if you compare how we played against Liverpool the first game of the season, dealing with that low block, and I do think there was other factors at play, like the fatigue and kind of the hangover from being kicked out of Europe potentially, but I think overall there's been progress we've seen against Watford, Everton and now Liverpool. I think we still have bigger tests ahead of us in terms of this low block, but overall the collective progress is most important. But I do believe that we're still underscoring, especially if you look at the like Arsenal's XG or something, it is pretty there's a pretty big gap. Now, finally, before we head into some Arsenal news, let's just have a quick look at the stats to get the overall look at the game. So, Liverpool had 4 yellow cards, Arsenal had the 1 yellow card. No red cards, which is good to see from both sides. Shots-wise, Liverpool had 5, Arsenal had 14 shots. But of those that were on target, Liverpool just had the 1, Arsenal had 7. Expected goals is 0.8. for Liverpool, but 1.74 for Arsenal, so pretty big difference there, as you would imagine. Touches in the opponent's box, 8 for Liverpool, 50 for Arsenal, and then passes in the final third, 41 for Liverpool, 200 for Arsenal, and then possession, 33% for Liverpool, 67% for Arsenal. So just to quickly recap, this all leaves Arsenal still in third place, but the chase is definitely still there, if possible. So, first place is Chelsea with 31 points. Second place is Man City with 28 points. We're in third with 28 points as well. Our goal difference is 17, City's is 25, and Chelsea's is 26. So, you can definitely see where there's a big gap. But now let's look at Arsenal news. So for sure the biggest news is the signing of French goalkeeper and former Champions League winner Sarah Bouhadi. She is there to provide cover. This is a short-term loan. She's there to provide cover for Sabs D'Angelo, who is soon to be heading off to the Gold Cup with Canada. Definitely feel like this was the right signing. Obviously you don't want to Manu Zinsberger to get injured at the same time. Could lead to absolute chaos. Definitely a proven winner, and I think she'll also be a good kind of mindset in the changing room as well. We have now drawn London City Lionesses in the next stage of the Conti Cup. This is obviously an away game. It's now been confirmed that it's going to be played on Wednesday the 7th of February at 7 p.m. Tickets will go on sale on the London City Lionesses website, not Arsenal. But there will be a link provided on the Arsenal website. I tend to do it that way if you want to get tickets. But definitely be quick because it has a pretty small allocation. We also have lots of loan watch news. So Gio is settling well back into life in Spain, which is great to see. Michel Adjemang assisted 2 goals to see Watford beat Durham, which is absolutely vital. They're currently in a relegation battle. We also have confirmation that Freya Godfrey is doing well. She was stretchered off in her game. It looked really serious, but she has said online that she's doing well and also thanked the medical staff and congratulated her team on the 3 points that they secured. And finally, 2 bits of Emirates news. We now have the game moved against Leicester to the Emirates. Tickets are now on sale. 8,000 got sold in the first day, which is a super impressive shift. And also, there's only a few tickets left for Arsenal's clash against Manchester United, so fingers crossed for a sellout there. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time.